How about an art exhibit of pictures that you can feel? You're listening to Face on the Virginia Voice. And for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean. Today, Shirley Confino Reeder takes us on a tour of the Muscarelli Museum on the campus of William & Mary in Williamsburg, where there is currently a tactile tour for persons who are blind or who have low vision. Shirley, why did you create the tactile reproductions?
I'm a designer, and my husband and I decided to move to Italy, and I closed my offices. Moved to Italy in 2002, and there I experienced tactile tours in several museums, but a lot of churches, and I thought that was very clever. I was introduced to a man who was an architect who developed tactile images with computers in Milan. And when I moved back to Norfolk, Virginia, I closed my offices, so I decided to become a docent. And when I went to training in 2002, I started training, I realized that what I'm going to teach will be closed doors to people who are blind. I went to a program in, I believe it was Rio de Janeiro, over something I had done for accessibility. I'm a designer by profession who focuses on accessibility, persons with disabilities, and the communities and cities. And I was involved with a program in Italy, in Venice, where there was a bridge that was not going to be accessible. I became involved in that. They stopped the program for the bridge. They stopped building it for 5 years. The bottom line is, it is now an accessible bridge in Venice. So when I moved back to Norfolk, I said, I'm going to be learning how to give tours, but how do I give them to people who are blind? And I went to this program who invited me to speak about this bridge in Venice. And I met Rebecca McGinnis at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And she talked about their new program for the blind. And she showed me the book. It was a tactile images, colored tactile images with Braille that the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company supported and gave them money for to do. I said to myself, this is very expensive, but I know I could do something else, something like it. I went home after the conference. I bought some puff paint. My husband cut out some boxes and made flat canvases, quote unquote. I live in Norfolk. I went to Norfolk to the Chrysler Museum. I asked permission to do some drawings. I did three drawings, one of Matisse, one of Renoir, and I don't remember the other name.
Let me stop you. You did drawings freehand. Of what you saw on the wall?
Yes, but I understood that to make it accessible for someone who was blind, I couldn't do all the details. It would be too confusing. So I looked at the image. I'm also a painter. I took the images and I cleaned it up, quote unquote. I took the important parts of the image, and I used puff paint for a dollar. Went to the dollar store. I bought puff paint.
Maybe our listeners know, but I do not. What is puff paint?
Puff paint is a paint that they put on fabric that creates a tactile image on piece of fabric, and all the kids know about it. They use it in kindergarten. It becomes puffy. It has a texture. So I said, this has got to be able to be used on cardboard. So I chose the three images, made my drawings, created the tactile image, and called a friend of mine who was blind. Her name was Marion Saunders. I said, Marion, this is what I'm doing. Would you like to help me? She took paratransit to the museum, and we met. I gave her a tour of the outside of the museum, and then we went upstairs to the Impressionist gallery. I gave her the images to hold on her lap. When I realized that the Renoir was off the wall, I went downstairs to find out where it was, because that was part of my new tour. They told me it was out to be cleaned, so I ran back upstairs and I told Marion, I apologize, and she laughed, and she said, it's on my lap. The painting is on my lap. I realized what we were doing. I spent an hour and a half talking to her about Renoir, about the Matisse. She knew about the apples. She said, is it going to fall? What color is it? We spent an hour and a half talking about three paintings, and then she asked me to give a tour to another man that she knew who was blind. And that's the history. I started with puff paint on cardboard. Then I called up the Department of American Printing for the Blind. They agreed to do some images for me. We created a tour for MoCA, which is now MoCA, the Museum of Contemporary Art in Virginia Beach. We had 12 or 13 images made tactile, but I had trouble working with them because they were not as sophisticated enough. I had to do so much more to get it done that I do not know how to do. I was not able to do it. So I found another company in Ottawa. I called them up for this program. I called them up. They told me all you have to do is do the image, scan it, and send it to me. We'll do everything else.
What do they do after you've gotten the image and scanned it?
Okay. They run it through their machine. They prepare the image the way they want it, the way that it has to be cleaned up. They create the letters, the information on the board. I laid it out for them. They created it intact with Braille, and they have a machine that makes it tactile, and they sent it out to me, and this is what we have.
Now you have not just the image, which is tactile, you also have the titles in Braille.
In Braille, yes, and in English.
So it's accessible to anyone.
Oh, it's accessible.
Sighted or not.
Oh, yes, it's accessible to everyone. Da Vinci was left-handed. A lot of his work is, although he's developed a new form of toning a body or face for volume, he also used hatching. His new development was Sufomo, S-F-U-M-A-T-O, Sufoto. Anyway, many times all you see is the hatching. Da Vinci was left-handed, so his hatching line would go from upper left to lower right. If you see hatching on his pictures that are right to left, you can almost bet it was an assistant that helped him with it.
And this one?
And this one is right to left, which means, and it says, an assistant.
How do you make what you just described accessible?
I happen to have lines that are very easy to look at and feel.
So they can feel it.
They can feel the line from if I hold it this way and their fingers touch it from the top left to go down, you know it's by Leonardo da Vinci. If you feel it from the upper right to the left, you know it's an assistant.
The important thing here is you've made it tactile.
I made it tactile, yes. I showed it how they could see it tactically.
We're looking at the picture of the infant Christ nursing.
Yes.
And you have a model in your hand.
I have a model. It's a store-bought doll that moves, and we can make it his arms move to the almost the same image as the picture. His legs are down. Let's see. There and there. And unfortunately, it's called Leonardisk because a baby his body will probably not be able to conform to that form. Leonardo knew the anatomy. He knew the anatomy from the inside out, and he knew how to manipulate it. So this is called Leonardisk because it really is not real. It's idealized.
But even though it's a picture on the wall, you have in your hands
A
three-dimensional doll,
yes,
that is in the exact position as the picture,
yes,
and people can feel it.
Yes. There's another one here. And this is the infant Christ child blessing. His hand is going down, his hand is going up, and he's looking at you.
So you can put the doll in the exact position,
almost
arms,
exactly,
legs, head, as the picture.
Yes. And first of all, for people who have low vision, so they'll see the destruction of the age of the paper because of the material that Da Vinci used on this particular painting.
The other painting is devoid of any of these blotches, but this painting, he added white to it, and that created blemishes. It created the destruction of the paper. Da Vinci had he was a scientist. He developed a lot of things, and some of it didn't work. I have 10 images, and then I have several pieces that are tactile that are not from the art. Now, there's Michelangelo. Michelangelo is on this display also. And it's comparing Michelangelo to Da Vinci. Both understood the value of understanding anatomy, but they both had different ideas of how it was created and how to depict it. Da Vinci was very, very religious and believed everything in the world was God created. But he also understood that the Bible didn't tell everything because the soil and the erosion and the water was older than the Bible. So things like natural selection, things change, just like aging changes people. He wasn't always happy with the aging process. Michelangelo understood the same thing, but he understood that you have to look at things and make the adjustments. So your eye is your paintbrush. Here he has a man sitting and posing for the Sistine Chapel, but he's working with the body to move it around. You see his strokes, his lines. And this is changing just like this, and this will be for tactile.
So we're looking at a drawing, but you have another doll that is articulated so you can put the arms, legs, and head in the exact position of the drawing.
Yes.
And people can feel it.
And it changes. It'll change to this form, and it'll keep on changing until Michelangelo is happy with the changes. And I'll show, we can move this doll around in this form or at any level to know that it's a hand that's moving, and a hand uses a lot of ways, a lot of joints and muscles to make the movement. And Michelangelo understood that. He also understood that if you look at something up in the ceiling, like the Sistine Chapel, the picture will not be articulated the same as you look on a painting straight on. He knows when you look up, further away, up, the neck will be different, the shoulders will be out of line, it'll be elongated, so it'll look proper at the sight level. Da Vinci drew. He knew what was underneath the skin and the muscles and the tendons and the veins. He'd actually take the cadaver and skin it and take out the nerves, replace it with cord and attach it to the muscles and move it to see how the muscles were working with the nerves.
So you have a tactile picture of a reproduction of what the actual original was.
Yes. Second, this is Michelangelo's work. Michelangelo understood anatomy. He also worked with cadavers. He also worked that, but everything was polished. Everything was strong and measured. He recognized the need for the measurement of the classics. He was trained by the Medici, by looking at their gardens, by looking at the classical sculptures that they had. And everything is proportioned. You have 8 hands for a body, or 10 wrists, fists. And everything is measured.
You've done a remarkable job here to make things available, accessible to people who have limited sight.
I belong to the Coalition for Lack of Better, an international coalition of accessibility. I've trained people all over the world how to make their homes accessible, the buildings accessible, the cities accessible, for the dementia, for any form of living environment, anything that a person is using. Take the Coke bottle, you know, the knob of the Coke mm-hmm. bottle, that should be accessible, made accessible. I'm a designer, so I work for furniture. I work for environments, total living environments. I designed the first house that anyone can live in safely in 1989 for the Tidewater Builders Association.
And when they wanted to give me an award, they didn't know what to call it. They called it the Environmental Design Award. But the HUD had picked it up, and it's in their books. I've taught a lot of people how to make life easier for a lot of people.
Specifically on this tactile design for the pictures at the Muscarel,
yes.
How do people see it? Do they have to make an appointment?
Well, in this case, I'm training two docents now. One docent was trained a few years ago when I first started because it was very rudimental, and I've trained a lot of docents since then. So they have to call me, make an appointment, and I'll take a tour, give them the tour.
Almost any time?
When I'm able to. The museum has allowed me to do it at any time. We're here on Monday. They're usually closed on Monday. If they want to make a tour, do a tour, I gave them that telephone number. It's on the website for the Muscarelli, and let them contact me.
Do you give your phone number?
Yes.
Would you like to give it now?
Of course. It's 757-513-4880.
And if they call you, they can arrange a tour.
Yes.
Your business is Universal Design.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Universal Design is based on a concept that the barriers we have in life are barriers that are built, not that we were born with. In Europe, it's called Design for All. It's barrier-free design because, as I said, architects build the barriers. City planners build the barriers. Despite the laws, and I'm a trained ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, I'm an ADA trainer. I was trained by the government, and I've trained thousands of people on the ADA. This is part of it. There's a law. Title III is pay for places of public accommodation, effective communication. This is effective communication. This is sharing what the world has to offer with everyone who's able to do it.
Shirley Confino-Reeder, is it that architects and city planners are just not aware of the accessibility problem, or is it deliberate?
No, it's definitely not deliberate because they have codes that they have to deal with. I'm the chair of the Mayor's Commission for Persons with Disabilities in Norfolk. I'm also the chair of the Disability Services Board of Hampton Roads. The cities and governments and state agencies are aware of the responsibility of the ADA and all of the government building codes. The architects have another story. You can't tell an artist how to paint. Michael Graves, I think it was, who lost the use of his legs, I went to a program he gave. He says, ladies and gentlemen, you no longer have to design a one-family house in two stories without a bathroom downstairs. It's a mindset. It's more and more often that the pen is not only the ruler, it's the thinking of the law is a ruler.
Well, Michael, you mentioned Michael Graves,
yeah.
And he went on from being an architect to be designing utensils, living kitchen utensils.
Why?
And he passed away just a week or so ago.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, but why? Because he was not able to walk anymore. He became personally involved with his work. Personally, he was personally affected by what he was doing all these years.
Let me bring you back to the museum again. Give us the full details of when and where exhibit can be seen.
Well, the museum, the Muscarelli exhibit of the Michelangelo da Vinci, Leonardo da Vinci Michelangelo show, ends April 5th. But then it goes on to the Boston Museum of Art. And I'm hoping that they will take on a tactile exhibit. I haven't been able to contact them yet. The director will said that he will contact them. I'm hoping that it would happen at the Boston Museum of Art.
Now, your specific exhibit of tactile images, will they remain at the Muscarelli?
Well, we had 12 wonderful tactile images made by our docents a few years ago. They've disappeared. And now we're talking about a lot of money, and we're talking money that's coming from some budget. I was originally planning to do this myself, but the director said he will pay for it. So if they keep it, they have to be very careful with it. Otherwise, they'll have to deal with me. and I'm not an easy person to deal with. But I don't know what the will get. I know it will not lose its value, because even though the exhibit will not be here, the pieces of paper and the models will.
Going back to your exhibit.
Now, this exhibit, if the exhibit closes, we have 10 images of the drawings. I can do all 30 images, keep it in the file, and if somebody wants to take a class or if somebody wants to experience Da Vinci and Michelangelo, it's here. It's on your lap. Just like Marion said, it's on my lap.
So basically, all they have to do is contact you. You will guide them into how they can access the exhibit, how you can show them your pieces.
Yes.
Shirley Confino Rader, again, give your telephone number.
757-513-4880. And, of course, I have a website, www.univdesign.com. And my email address is scr@univdesign.com.
Shirley Confino Rader is the docent who has created this tactile exhibit at the Muscarelli Museum in Williamsburg. You're listening to Face to Face on the Virginia Voice. And for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean.